Today in our hot seat, we have Seamus Syed, COO of Interpreters Unlimited. Hi, Seamus. Good to have you here.
Hi there. Good afternoon, you both. Thank you so much for having me here.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Nimzi's Inga Boonen, Chief Growth Officer, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
So Seamus, in one sentence, can you tell us what Interpreters Unlimited actually does?
Our niche is on-site interpreters. We are interpreters.com. We provide, of course, language services, on-site interpretation, telephone, video, document, and we do this nationally throughout the U.S., servicing about 40 states throughout the country.
When you were a kid, did you already like speak several languages? And so the interpreter career was something that you dreamed of at the time, or what was the career that you dreamed of?
Not even close. I didn't even know the industry existed at that time. I had hopes of becoming a doctor. I was pre-med for about 15 minutes. I did get my undergraduate degree in general and molecular biology out of UC San Diego, and I was in the biotech industry for some time before transitioning to the language services industry.
Oh, how did that happen then?
Yeah.
Well, I have had throughout my working life post-college, I had a series of very bad bosses, just individuals that today they wouldn't really be applicable because our workplace has changed so much. But 15, 20 years ago, bosses like that were very common. So I'll spare you the details, but I had a lot of bad bosses, which at a certain point, you just want to take that extra step and say, you know what, I'm done. Mm-hmm. My father, Parallel, had sold his previous company that he started, built, took public, and sold. And he says, well, let's do something all together as a family. So 16 years ago, we were all looking at the family. We looked at all sorts of businesses, from restaurants to dry cleaners to moving companies to printing companies, you name it, we looked at it. And one of his former board of directors says, hey, I'm very close to this family that's selling their business. I don't know what they do, but they do well, and they're very good people. So I remember so vividly on a fall morning 16 years ago, almost 17 years ago, we walked into the offices of Interpreters Unlimited, which at that time had been around for 37 years. Today, wow. We've been around for over 50 years. That was our very first exposure to the language services industry.
Wow, what a story.
Yeah, quite a story. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And when you're not working, how do you like to spend your time? Do you have hobbies?
My hobbies right now is being as much as I can with my family. I have a wife of 16 years. It's her birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. I have two boys. I have a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old whom are highly unpredictable. The stuff that comes out of their mouth just blows you away. And so when I'm not with the family and I'm not at work, I'm at the gym every morning at 5 a.m. And I am taking golf lessons.
Wow.
Oh, wow. 5 a.m.? Did I hear that? Well,
I'm a loyal 5 a.m. gym guy. If anyone, I'm up at 4:30 at the gym by 5.
Wow.
So for those people that know me, they know exactly where to find me at 5 a.m.
Good to know. case of emergency.
Exactly.
Yes.
Very predictable.
What about traveling? Is that something that you enjoy? And if yes, which would be the three different countries that maybe you haven't visited yet that you would like to go to?
Sure. Well, we are a very international family. My wife is from London, from central London. I have families spread across the world. So we don't need much of an excuse to travel. This past summer, my wife and kids were in London for 2 months and spent some time there. And we traveled within Europe during that time. But there are a few countries I've not been to and which are hopefully going to knock out at least one or two of these, God willing, next summer. I've never been to Spain. Would love to see the rich culture, the old Islamic history there. Thailand for the food and the beaches. And Greece, where I've never been. One of my nearest and dearest goes there for 2 months, and we've never had a chance to go and hang out with them. But of course, Greece for the partying and for the beaches.
Amazing. I mean, that's three places with excellent beaches, excellent food, great history and architecture. Mm-hmm. I love this choice.
Yeah, me too.
And my last question is, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Well, I've two, I have to say, have stuck in my mind that I repeat often. One was given, well, ironically, by an old boss. And he said, to make it in this industry, one simple rule: say what you're going to do, then do what you said. If you tell someone you're going to call them in 20 minutes, call them in 20 minutes. If you tell someone that I'll see you tomorrow, well, see them tomorrow. It's something that simple that we always take for granted. And over time, that will build the impression people have of you. That's number one. Number two is the CEO of one of the largest biotech companies. At the time, he was a 40-year-old former, used to run one of GE's companies. He was 40-year-old Harvard MBA running a $1 billion company, which today it's a $15 billion company. Mm-hmm. I was fascinated by the guy. And I said, well, give me some advice. I said, he says, well, the only thing constant is change.
Yes.
two lines that stick in my head.
Seamus, I feel like we got to know you a bit better now. It's nice to learn a bit more about your background and where to find you at 5 a.m. But we're going to move on to some of the tougher questions now.
I'm ready for the tough ones.
Okay, good. Here they come. So in your career, maybe looking mostly at the language industry now, what was your first breakthrough moment? Because it sounds also you came in, as a complete outsider into this industry, but you've had success. You are a successful person in this business. So when was that first breakthrough moment?
Well, thank you. Sarah, I'm very humbled, and I appreciate that, and it is very humbling. I have to credit my father with the mindset, and it's the mindset of really thinking bigger and really understanding potential of business, not just any business, but just of business in general. So the first breakthrough, it wasn't our first acquisition, it wasn't second, but quite frankly, it was the third and fourth. Mm-hmm. At that point, I realized we were part of something bigger. And when I saw how we were doing things and working with our clients and how other companies were doing, especially those that we acquired, we realized that from a business perspective, we really add value in how we do it. And not because we were doing anything special. It was just because of something, how we were doing and how things we were doing different. What's the saying? Work harder, work smarter, not harder.
Yes.
So we were approaching things very differently. You know, another thing that was our latter acquisitions. The other thing that we did different, which half the people heavily criticized us for, and half the people heavily praised us for, was after our second acquisition, we were still looking for companies to acquire. So one ALC conference we went to, mm-hmm. we did a bag stuffer. You know, you put your flyers in the bags, mm-hmm. and in each bag, we put a fly card. And the card said, if you're looking at selling and making an exit, call us. We might be interested. So that went into 250 some odd bags for that conference. And every company at the ALC conference, if you were a vendor, sponsor, or an attendee, got a card from us that said, hey, if you're looking at selling, we're looking at buying. And some people thought that was, well, very ballsy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And love that aspect. Some people thought it was very arrogant.
Oh,
but here we are.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it's better to be a bit more bold. So,
I agree.
So then we already talked about how, or you already included some stories here about how your company does things differently. What would you say is then maybe, you know, the secret sauce to your company's success?
It hasn't really been about the financial aspect. The secret sauce is really the mindset. It's never been about the money. And it still isn't. It still isn't. I love what I do. We love what we do. We love who we do it with and who we do it for. I have a great team. And I don't tell them this enough, but every member of the team brings such a tremendous value. It's not a transaction. It's not transactional. You know, you're not booking an appointment for the sake of booking the appointment because that's your job. You're booking the appointment because there's someone that has a genuine need for these services. Mm-hmm. Our client, our end users, have no idea what we do in the background for the contracts. Most of our end users don't even know that we exist, that this is the company that provides the interpreters. But yet they are relying on us and our interpreters to get the healthcare that they need, to get the social services that they need, mm-hmm. to get the insurance coverage that they need. So we really play such a critical part in LEP's daily lives. So we never want to lose sight of really who we're servicing. So it's not about the money. Mm-hmm. My focus and our focus is putting food on the table. It's putting food mm-hmm. on the table of our team, of our staff. Everything else, the financial aspect of it is a byproduct, truly is. And everything else is truly a blessing. So the secret sauce is just the mindset.
Looking at your career in the language industry or even your career overall, it's been many years, as you said, even 17 now, if I recall correctly, since Interpreters Unlimited, that you went into Interpreters Unlimited. So what lessons have you learned in business and throughout your career?
Going back to the mindset, one of the things that and this is something I say personally, and this was something that my father really taught, along with my business groups and books. But of course, as a kid, right, we never listen to our parents. We'll go out and read a book about it, look on social media about it, pay someone to tell us about it, but you don't always listen to it when it's coming for free on in your other ear. This is just the mindset that my father really ingrained, is thinking small. Mm-hmm. And that was a big weak point for me. It's correcting the mindset of saying, why you can do something versus why you can't.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, it's when you see two lines, one is shorter and one is wrapping around the block, your mind first tells you that, okay, this is the long line. This must be the line. So you stand in that line and then you get a versus someone else that says, you don't want them to go check out that other line. And it's the exact same line. Just don't want everyone follows versus looking yourself.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. The best example of that was, I was actually over the summer, I was coming back. We're at the Heathrow Airport. Two lines for secure for passport control. And one was just going back up and well into the terminal. And the other was like three people in the line. And what blew us both me away that I still had no idea why no one stood else. I was the fourth person in that three-person line and made it through within a matter of minutes. Wow. But I had no idea why this other line was wrapping around and why people still felt obligated to stand in that line instead of just looking a few inches to the left.
Yeah, sounds like quite the social experiment.
Yeah.
So I like a lot of what you're saying, what we're taking away from you here. A lot of great tips already, great mindset to business. Clearly, there's been a lot of success, but I'm wondering about the stumbles in your career as well, because everybody stumbles. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone occasionally has something they might later on call a failure. Can you recall something like that? And can you tell us what you learned from it?
Well, I'd like to say that nothing was a failure. There's always wisdom in it. You don't know what you've done wrong until you failed. And you don't know, you don't know if you don't do something right. If you have always done something right, you're not going to know what to fix if something goes wrong. So nothing was a failure. Everything was a learning experience, especially in retrospect. Yes, I can say that today because hindsight is always 20/20.
Yeah.
you know, we have a term here in the U.S., Monday morning quarterback, where you talk about what happened or the weekend during American football and what you could do different. And the term is, we say it jokingly, but being the Monday morning quarterback is essential. It's critical. If you don't know what you did right, you can't recreate it. And if you don't know what you did wrong, you can't fix it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's like in experimental research as well, when an experiment fails, you know, it didn't fail. You just learned another way of how it doesn't work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
There's always a takeaway there. Okay. So, last question, because we're already, our time is almost up. I can't believe it because I feel like time has been flying. You already gave us good pieces of advice, but I still like to finish these interviews always asking, what advice would you give to young entrepreneurs who are starting their own business in the language industry today?
Don't be emotional. I just got done sharing with you why we enjoy doing what we do. Absolutely. Equally, you need to learn the business fundamentals. Business is business, whether you're manufacturing and selling widgets, whether you're an attorney, whether you're a doctor, or whether you're running a language services company. The fundamentals of business are critical. Put together a business plan. Work with those key advisors and don't be emotional. Be very logical in your decision making. If you make a mistake, as I just mentioned to you, that's fine. Make it, learn from it, and move forward. But you can't be emotional. You really can't. Learning the business fundamentals will keep, if you have those fundamentals in one hand and you got the fun in the other hand, you have the secret sauce for putting food on your table and the food on the table of your team. If you don't have the business fundamentals, but you have the love of what you do, you're not going to know how to make money, keep money, and retain it, and use it effectively. again, we've seen in our business acquisitions, we came across too many companies that had a great business, a great passion for what they do, but only have after so decades of operations, they barely had 30 days of cash to mm-hmm. keep their doors open. And it's heartbreaking to see it because you have someone that genuinely has the passion and that generally has built something very solid, but on the back end didn't have the solid business fundamentals driving the organization. And that's where their downfall was.
A very, very good point. Thank you.
Yes. That's amazing advice, Seamus. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And, I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. And thank you for joining us in the hot seat. And you said it was still warm in San Diego, but we hope we didn't make you sweat too much.
Not at all. Not at all.
If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, feel free to sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
And for the viewers at home, this was it for today. Thank you so much for watching and listening. And look out for the next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website. We'll see you there.